Good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. Welcome to IT Live presented by Academy. We're from InsideTexas.com. That's Ian Boyd. That's Justin Wells. Appreciate you talking with us right before the holiday weekend. Texas looking for some fireworks on the recruiting trail. Maybe some start today. Should be a lot of fun to track. But if you're here, make sure you like this video. And make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you have notifications turned on. And of course, if you are not aware, we've got a promo running. Head to InsideTexas.com. If you haven't joined yet, $1 will get you access all the way up until kickoff of the Ohio State game. It's a great deal, one that we are excited to run, especially with media days around the corner, with recruiting being here. And of course, camp is not far at all. And got a plug in for our guy, Paul Wadlington. Thinking Texas Football is out, the 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus. You know, you can buy your preview magazines. You can have all that. But if you want something that is Texas focused with Paul's wit and detail, Will Gallagher's pictures and Eric Nalin's preview of the 2025 class, well, this is the place to go. I don't know about y'all, but this is perfect flight reading, you know, and I usually save it. Oddly enough, I'll get it on my phone and I'll read it on the flight to the first road game. And I can page, you know, if it's a 3-hour flight, you can fly through it. You can save it. That's how I usually absorb it. I've had people from other markets ask me about it. So that's a great, great resource over the course of less than 2 months away. But Justin, less than 2 months away. Recruits like deciding on July 4th, don't they? Recruits also like deciding on July 3rd. We got a few to track over the next couple days, including one today that should, you know, the ceremony should start maybe in about 25 minutes or so.
We do. There's, you know, there's been some doom and gloom on social media about Texas recruiting class, and I just feel like it's Groundhog Day every time. I imagine Bill Murray. I feel bad for some people that don't remember what the classes have looked like the last 3 or 4 years, but that's just kind of part of the way it goes. I think today's going to be a pretty good start to the weekend. I'll say this. Holidays, future holidays, kids, don't make these things on holidays. Don't. There's so much other stuff to do. There's so much stuff going on. I will say this. Remember, we started building up a list of like, what was it, 4 or 5 guys announcing tomorrow or yeah. Within this like window of days. And now I'm pretty much, my son was asking me about fireworks and I'm pretty much reserved. Buddy, sorry. Like, this is no longer a holiday. We don't celebrate the birthday of America. We celebrate who's committing to Texas and who isn't committing to Texas. July 4th is about fireworks. Yeah, July 4th is about Texas football.
We the one we're tracking today, we'll talk about the couple that we're tracking tomorrow as well, those big O-linemen. But today, again, waiting to hear about Kosi Okpala, Maid Creek, KD product. And, you know, Ian, they're battling with an eclectic mix of schools. You got Penn State, you've got Miami, and you got Baylor competing with Texas. You watched a little bit of his film just to prepare for this topic. What'd you think looking at Okpala?
They really like grabbing guys that are athletic and potential pass rushers, like Anthony Hill, Elijah Barnes. I know there's other ones. Texas always used to do this, like with Manny Diaz in the 2010s. And with Charlie Strong, it felt like they were always grabbing dudes like this that like maybe play the edge in high school, are explosive, fast pass rushers. And then you would get them to Texas and be like, okay, now you're going to play inside linebacker. So when the guard does this and the fullback does this, you do this. But if this happens, and then you just would watch all of them turn into nothing, right? And it was so frustrating. And it was like, it never mattered. You could just like name off all the dudes Texas brought in every year and they would get taken away from the edge and put inside and not amount to much. But that's not really how it's worked with this staff. So I watch this film and the first thing that happens is I get a little PTSD because I'm like, well, he's playing the edge. He's awesome attacking the backfield. He's explosive. When he hits people, it's like Anthony Hill, not quite like Anthony Hill, but, you know, like he hits people and they get, you can see the shock of impact. And so it's exciting. And it's like, but he's going to have to learn how to play linebacker. How's that going to go? But that worries me a lot less because they've shown that they know how to cover these guys up. They know how to teach them to get where they need to be. So that'll probably take him a couple of years if he comes to Texas before he can actually learn to play the position they want him to play at. But A, they've shown they can teach him. And B, that he's going to have time because that room is not barren where it's like every year the freshman class are like, hopefully these guys are good because previous class definitely ain't it. Generally optimistic.
Justin, one thing I like about Paul as a prospect, and I talked with you about this, Ian was a little kind of skeptical, is he's already got the size, you know, that you're happy with at a middle linebacker, especially in this defense. And, you know, when you're taking hybrids, like, or taking and deploying hybrids like Maurice Blackwell, Jonathan Cunningham, yeah, those players have places in modern defense, but if you're going to be a guy in the middle, like at some point you're going to have to get to the weight you need. And he's already a good way there for whatever program he chooses.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the weight to, you know, potentially play on special teams early, I feel like. And he's got the athleticism. I like the Blackwell hybrid thing because it kind of reminds me they're different players. I'm not saying they're similar. I'm saying that I think that Kosi could play pretty early. But that's the thing. It's an assembly line at linebacker right now. So you're going to have to wait your turn. And that's kind of the way you want it. That's the way you want that room to look. That's the way you want every room to look. But Kosi can get to probably – I could see him at 235 and not losing any of his quickness, any of his speed, anything like that. You go over that, you get in the 240, 245 range, you're going to slow him down a little bit. And that's so one of the things he's good at. He's explosive. He's got that ability. And so I love they'll get developed. They're not going to, you know, it's crazy. I can't believe I'm doing this. Cam Newton's podcast. I watched some of it the other day and I don't know why he normally talks about absolutely nothing over and over and over again, but he made really good points about Arch Manning. And he said he made a great point about high school kids in college. He said, don't go somewhere where you play early. That just because you play early doesn't mean you're getting developed. Just because you start early doesn't mean you're getting better. Go somewhere where you're getting developed. And Cam actually made sense. I was as shocked as anybody else. And it kind of reminds me of that with Kosi. It's like, don't worry about playing early. Just worry about getting developed. Worry about getting in the system and learning it. And in 3 years, you'll be ready to potentially make a decision like that. But Kosi's going to be just fine. He's going to be a guy inside. He's going to be watching Leona LaFau. He's going to be watching Ty Anthony Smith. There's some good dudes there. And then he's going to be right behind Elijah Bo Barnes. And so I love that room. I really do. And I think Cam was trying to win back over some Texas fans. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think Cam was just trying to make a point. But it was valid. He was talking about Arch Manning overall. And it was a good show. Like I said, I generally don't watch or hear, listen to anything Cam Newton has to say. But man, in that regard, he nailed it.
You want a great contrarian take? I think Cam Newton's, if he were talking about like Kosi Akpala or most positions, I think he's exactly right. Like you want to go to the place that'll develop you over time. You shouldn't worry about playing. You're probably not going to be ready to play anyway. At quarterback, I think the best developmental track would actually be for these young five stars to go to a small school, play immediately, and then transfer. I don't think sitting at a school like Texas is as valuable to a quarterback as playing for a couple of years and getting those reps at like a G5 or a JUCO or something. You see it in the NFL all the time. The guys that actually make it in the NFL and have long careers are often the guys that climbed their way up and got a gazillion reps. Because playing the quarterback position, you have to train your brain to process information in front of you extremely quickly. And you cannot do it without just playing a million games and getting a million reps. And you can't do that unless you play early. So I think Arch will do fine at Texas. He'll probably be fine in the NFL too because he's Arch Manning. he's been groomed for this his whole life. But for the vast majority of quarterbacks, I actually think coming to Texas and sitting for a couple of years and learning from Sark is not the best way for them to be great in the NFL. And the proof is in the pudding, because most of Sark's quarterbacks have not been that good in the NFL.
Not only is that contrarian, that's utilitarian. You know, like that is just straight up like go. It removes the emotion from it. And I guess what you mean.
Convince the Mannings, not Texas. Go to Tulane, Arch. You don't belong anywhere else. Tulane for 2 years. And if you're any good there, then Sark can bring you in and you can play. That mindset at the recruiting table, oh, buddy, I can't imagine that ever going well.
Hey, well, how many first round busts do we have to see before people start to rethink how we teach and develop quarterbacks today?
Yeah, the NFL.
I don't think there is a number. There's not a number. But you will continually see them.
I mean, you can also even look at Cam a little bit, and he got a handful of reps at Florida.
Yeah.
Goes to Blinn, wins a JUCO title there, then goes to Auburn, has one of the best individual season we've ever seen. And then he goes and has a great NFL career because he accumulated those reps and didn't.
He had one good season. He did not have a great NFL career.
It was pretty good for a quarterback.
If you're a starting quarterback in the league for that long, you're not chopped liver.
100%. I'm just not going to be a part of a show that says Cam Newton had a great NFL career. That was all I was saying. But
Brett Favre had my take, because he was asked, what would you tell young quarterbacks? And he said what I said. And he went to Southern Mississippi, right?
Yep.
He's like, I'm going to get into trouble for this, but I think what you actually should focus on is playing. Go where you can play early as much as possible, because there's no substitute for playing.
What does that have to do with welfare subsidies in Mississippi?
Nothing. Okay, they're separate. Okay. We'll find out. I get the utilitarian part of that, but it doesn't always work that way, you know? And actually, here's a good question from Devon Jackson. Who are the quarterbacks that followed that path? Let's try to think. I mean, Mahomes had to sit 1 year behind Davis Webb or something like that, right? Or Baker, actually.
Yeah, Mahomes played early.
Mahomes played really early.
I think he played as a freshman. He played every year as a starter. Baker Mayfield played a ton.
Josh Allen
played a ton. He did JUCO and Wyoming. Aaron Rodgers did JUCO and Cal.
Who's the Geno Smith played a lot at West Virginia, right?
He definitely got
multiple years in. I don't know if he played super early.
I don't know if he played.
Brock Purdy played multiple years and had Jimbo and Nick Fisher trying to get him.
Brock Purdy started all 4 years in college. Who are the other good?
And this is a good one that shows this isn't perfect, because Jaden Daniels, he got reps right away for Herm Edwards at Arizona State. Left in, you know, not great circumstances. I mean, there were videos of people trashing his locker. And then he goes to LSU, has a good year, then has a transcendent year. So it's not the same for everybody, but I do see what you mean by reps right away is the best path forward. Not all reps are created equal, but you know, this is a sport with 136 teams playing in the same league. You know, there's so many different things.
And look at this particular kid with Arch Manning. He actually got reps.
I agree
with what Ian's saying. And in this circumstance, particularly the fact that he backed up Quinn Ewers, who happened to be oft injured. Well, those oft injuries, guess what? They turned into Arch Manning reps. And the fact that he got to start a few games last year and even was in some situations where he had to, you know, pull the team together, I think that's immeasurable. I think that's going to help him more than any – and Sark's even mentioned that.
You know what else would help is to stick around for 2 years as a starter at Texas, even if he could jump after this year and go top five.
Yeah.
It's really hard for guys to turn down going in the first round.
And he's not turning.
For someone that has the long view like Manning, you would probably benefit more from another year starting in the SEC at Texas.
Yes.
And going to the NFL and either being rushed into action or sitting for a while and having to
start. And with NIL, Ian, it's even more likely.
He could make more at Texas probably than he on a rookie scale contract.
That's what I'm trying to say. Even that, exactly. Even
it's, with NIL, I think it's cutting it close in the first round. So
it is. I'm sure it is cutting close. Plus, he could get like an immediate Gatorade deal or something.
Like, who else really fits into this one?
Joe Burrow had to wait a long time to play, but he stuck around for 5 years in college before he went pro.
Yeah.
Two full years as a starter, which helped a lot.
Alex Smith.
Yeah. A lot of reps.
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm trying to think of some Big 12 guys. You know who's going to be a great who's going to be a great test case is going to be Avery Johnson up at K-State. Like, that's someone who split some reps with Will Howard and then became the guy. And then is going to be the guy in K-State for a couple of years. And he there's some Jaden Daniels to his game, and he doesn't have the same supporting cast Jaden Daniels did. But, you know, that's someone who you're going to watch and see probably get better as he gets more reps within that offense.
I'll tell you a quarterback that did it exactly the way Ian Boy described it, Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. We'll see if that worked out or not for him in the NFL. But he definitely
he was a product of a just horrible quarterback draft. That's why I think Cam went number one, because that was just last year's just dreadful quarterback draft.
Dak Prescott, people asked about him. Dak Prescott started for 3 years in a row at Mississippi State. Somebody else in the Big 12, you've got like Jalen Hurts started a year at Alabama, started the second year at Alabama, got yanked in the title game, set the third year at Alabama, and then played a third season as a starter at Oklahoma. And though you can tell those reps and working under a few different offensive coordinators made a big difference for him. Kyler Murray only played a single year. He's also had a little bit of a sketchy NFL career, although he got huge bag.
He's also special. Athletes. There's not very many Kyler Murrays out there, you know.
There's
like two, maybe. And one of them looks like Bo Jackson, and the other one looks like Deion Sanders, and the other one looks like Kyler Murray. So we'll talk a little. I like this. We can explore this a little bit later. We got to talk, Justin, about a few of the decisions that we're tracking tomorrow. One, we have a big piece on over on Inside Texas from Charlie Williams, who I see in the chat. That's about John Turntine, Texas, Michigan, Texas A&M, Stanford. The Longhorns have had their ebbs and flows in this recruitment, but it looks like they're having a strong flow here in the last 24 hours before he makes a decision.
Yes. I like the direction of John Turntine's recruitment. You know, that had been so steady of a recruitment for almost 2 years. And then the official visits happened to Michigan and Texas A&M, and they really shook stuff up. And you know what? That's what those visits are for. That's what those trips are meant to be for. Take them to figure out. You know, it's funny. We were talking to one of the recruits who didn't pick Texas, but Texas was in the mix. And he had said, I took official visits to figure out which places I don't want to go. And I thought that was a really smart way to handle it. He goes, I could play at any of these spots, but I actually picked the, you know, five or six OVs to knock them out to help me determine it like an elimination type factor. And I think that was kind of smart. And so I like where they're going with Turntine. Look, they have appropriated all their resources towards Felix Ojo and John Turntine. That's been the case. And I feel like it's probably hurt them in the regard of maybe getting a couple other offensive tackles earlier in this cycle. But this is who they want. And at this stage, I'm not arguing with Kyle Flood. I see the upside in both guys. I see the tremendous potential in both guys. I hate missing on Malachi Lee. I think that guy could potentially be the best offensive tackle in the class. Like, he is unbelievable. I hate missing on a kid like Zayden Crimpen. I think he could play all five positions across the front of the offensive line. But look, Ojo and Turntine, guys, when you're looking for bookend tackles, that's where you start. And so we're going to trust Kyle Flood on this because that's what he's pretty good at.
I really want to see if Turntime could play early at guard. And then maybe if Ojo or somebody goes early to the NFL, if Turntime could then make that jump out to tackle in his last year. Doesn't that seem like a plausible?
Yeah, he could play all five spots. He's got tackle feet.
I love him.
He's someone who, even as like a freshman, I could see like, okay, you're kind of in the emergency squad at this position. Maybe not center, because that takes a little bit. But, like, you know, he's someone who you can look at and be like, all right, get out there, John. You got to have some – a little bit more size to him. Again, I think we've said it since we're blue in the face. Like, I'm not concerned at all about how he looks right now. But that's going to be someone who, when he hits the field, he's going to look
– And that's like this coaching staff's responsibility to project these things.
Yes.
And they're pretty good at that. I'm going to let them have that.
I like this one. Got a super chat from Brett Nelson. We'll get to Ojo in just a second. How are we feeling about the early spreads on OU and A&M? I found those on FanDuel yesterday.
Yeah.
10.5. Texas favored in both those games.
Both of them the same. Interesting. Okay.
And Texas was listed as an underdog at Ohio State and at Georgia, I think about a 6.5 favorite at Florida, but double-digit point favorites versus Oklahoma and A&M. Mm. Justin, let's do the A&M part first. We'll get our OU insight in a second. But A&M, 10.5, it's in Austin. That's still a big number.
That's part of it.
That's not even what Texas hit, you know, in this past year's game. They only hit 10.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, they could have hit 25 if not for a couple of red zone interceptions. I think it shows that they respect A&M more than they do Oklahoma, because on a neutral side, they're taking a dime and a half away from OU, whereas Texas is going to get that 4 or 5 point home field advantage bump. And it's going to be a closer game. I really do think it'll be a closer game. Last year's score was not indicative of what we watched. That was a massacre. That was a physical overtaking, essentially. And so I think it'll be a better game this year in Austin. I don't think it. I still think Texas is better. I just don't know. 10.5 just seems pretty generous for a rivalry. And so, but Oklahoma's the one that I want to hear Ian about, because they're on a neutral side. If you're giving away a dime and a half on a neutral side, Vegas does not think much of you.
I like that spread better against Oklahoma than A&M. So I feel like the chances of, like, Texas, maybe they just, like, spy him a tier from the beginning with Simmons or Moore, and they just solve Oklahoma and the Sooners can't score, and it gets really easy to cover that. Covering against A&M in the last game of the year when both teams are, like, down to a nub, you know, that would make me a lot more nervous. Plus, I think A&M might be really good next year. Oklahoma, their ceiling is, like, pretty good and very dangerous to Texas. A&M's ceiling is, like, compete for the SEC championship.
You really think A&M is ready to compete for the SEC championship?
If they had scored points against Texas, they would have been.
But if it, you know, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't, you know, drag his balls on the water. Look, you got to understand.
A new one for me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of ifs there. But look, with A&M, Le'Veon Moss is the reason I would be worried about A&M. That is one of the best running backs in the country. And if that guy was toting the rock last year in that game would have been a lot closer. He is an animal running the football. And they returned that entire O-line, which I think is good. I think that's real good. I think it's positive, even though Texas pretty much manhandled that O-line. But continuity, you know, reps and all that kind of stuff, they're coming back. Who are they going to throw the ball to? And is Marcel Reed going to be a consistent passer? I think their defense is going to be pretty salty, even though they've lost a lot of that defensive front that they accumulated over the last few years. I know DJ Hicks is ready to probably break out, but I'm thinking about the offense. Marcell Reed, I don't know how consistent he can be. The key to them is going to be Le'Veon Moss. I think if they decide to just run the ball and become like a controlled tempo type offense, that's kind of their path. If they try to start throwing the ball around, they got one guy, Concepcion, the transfer from NC State. They've got some other young guys. I love Terry Bussey, but he's probably supposed to be on defense. But so I don't think A&M is that close to an SEC championship, Ian. I think if everything goes right
gotcha. For A&M, that's how good they could be. Everything could go right for Oklahoma, and they're still not going to sniff the SEC title.
Yeah.
Well, good question there. We'll get to what you've got, Spun the Daddy, in just a second. Let's talk about Felix Ojo. And real quick, Kosi Akpala moved his commitment time to 10:30. So a little bit of a delay.
No, I told him. I messaged him. I said, listen, we're doing the live IT show right now. If you can wait until we're done, that would be best for Inside Texas. And he's like, I got you, Justin.
There we go. Let's talk about Ojo, another guy on deciding on July 4th. Top offensive tackle in the state, maybe top offensive prospect in the state as well. And the Longhorns also look like they're in a good spot here too, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Felix has taken it on the chin the last few weeks, last week or so. Goes to the Rivals camp and really got humbled in some pretty bad reps. Here's what I'm disappointed in. If you go back and look at the full gamut of these drills, he won a ton of drills, but for some reason they didn't publicize those. He won some really good reps against some really good guys like KJ Ford and those others. I went back and looked and I thought, This is good. This actually looks kind of like what we were expecting. But for some reason, they didn't push those reps. They only pushed the ones that look like an embarrassment or the ones that would go viral. And so that's something that was I was disappointed in that because I think Felix took it really hard. It reminded me of Landon Jackson when he was going through his stuff. I believe it was like at the Under Armour camp stuff. He went through it and people made fun of him hardcore. And then, of course, you know, he's got the last laugh playing for the Buffalo Bills right now. But for Felix Ojo, it's a lot like Turntine. You know, we've watched his growth. I remember meeting him. He was about 6'5". Now he's every bit of 6'7", 285, 290, 295. Like, he's a good prospect. He's going to need development. But you know who else needed some development? Trevor Goosby. They all need some. Who else? Cam Williams. They all need some of that. And so if you want a moldable Clay at left tackle, give me Felix Ojo all day long.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Academy Sports and Outdoors. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering military and first responders 10% off your purchase, both in your local academy and online through tomorrow. So exclusions apply. Visit academy.com/discount for details. Make sure you make use of that by tomorrow. And thank you as we celebrate America. So big recruiting decisions there. We'll be tracking those. Again, Kosi Akpala, we're tracking 10:30 is the new time. And should be something to, again, y'all watch out on this channel on Inside Texas for the latest on that one. This is an interesting one, and I have no clue exactly. Can Texas pay NIL in Bitcoin where only the value of the time of the transaction would count against the cap? All right. First part.
You got to explain Bitcoin first.
First part, who knows? I don't think it's worth trying to unpack that. The value against the cap thing, NIL deals are not against that cap.
Nope.
The cap comes from money that the school itself
generates,
paying to players.
Out of the television revenue,
or
out of all the revenue sharing.
I don't know if it's specifically television revenue, but it's just revenue sharing.
Yeah.
If Bill Gates walked in tomorrow and said, "I wanted to pay somebody on Texas a Microsoft deal for 20 $0.5 million and 1 cent, he could, because that's NIL. The revenue sharing stuff is separate from NIL cap. They have to be fair market value, which is a problem that some schools don't really know how to traverse. We'll figure out how that looks. But who knows on Bitcoin? I don't think that's a whole other can of worms. But trying to play the unrealized gains game on you don't have to do that against the cap because there's no cap on NIL.
Right.
It's fair market value.
That's where Texas can excel, I think, at this. Yes, everyone's going to have the same structured cap from the revenue share. But the opportunities Texas is going to have for the other NIL things, I think that's where they're going to flourish in this new regulated system.
Go through a couple more questions.
I like Jedi Master. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we'll get a couple. Is the commitment streaming live? Looking for that. I don't. If anywhere, it'll be probably on his Instagram. I think the live stream with On3 fell through.
It did. They were trying to set something up yesterday with him, and they couldn't get their streams crossed.
Yeah.
But it's at his high school.
How thick is the smoke about Texas and Braden Rouse? Justin, you had an update last night on this.
Yeah, it was brief, but I caught up with him, and I didn't want to bother him. He was on a family vacation, and so you don't really want to mess with kids when they're spending time. But we know, and you made a great point, he had mentioned before, that's kind of where he wants to go to make that decision-making. That's kind of the stage he's at. He's progressed. Texas and him are progressing well. It's something that we needed to watch and pay attention to. I think we reserved him to Tennessee for so long and for good reason. Anytime you talk to him, the Vols were at the top of the list. But I think Texas has made it interesting. And I've said this numerous times, and I'll say it one more time. There is not better film at linebacker in the class of 2026. I don't care if he's the number 7 rated linebacker in the country. Go watch all those guys and show me a tape that's better than Braden Rouse. That kid, whereas Okpala might take a year or two to develop, to get acclimated to the college game, Braden Rouse would come in and play pretty quick. There is not a lot to this game that you wouldn't like. And so I think there's something there, and don't be surprised if he makes a decision this weekend.
Why does Texas continue to lose out on defensive line recruits? Well, they did miss on James Johnson. They did miss on Kendall Guerbel. They won on Corey Wells. They won on Bodney Cleveland. They won on Dylan Berryman. They won on Richard Wesley. And they look good on Jamarian Carlton. So when you recruit a lot of guys, sometimes you miss, but they've been hitting pretty darn well over the course of this.
Also, that position is DL is so – that's the kind of position where everybody is going to be dropping huge bags. Everybody needs them. It should never be how did Texas lose out on X defensive tackle?
That's way too general of a question. Every recruitment is different. Especially in the NIL era with Guerville, this kid came out of Austin wanting to go to Texas. Simple as that. And Texas had him as a priority. They really liked him since the spring. Florida has you were talking about a school that hasn't recruited the D line well. It's Florida. So what do they have to do in this type of situation? They have to up the offer. I use the poor word of desperate, but you have to kind of increase it so you don't completely strike out on the defensive line. That's why when they went back to Guerville with a much better offer, that's why he couldn't turn that down. He loved the idea of going and playing at Texas, but in this particular recruitment, Florida needed him more than Texas did. And that's why you can't say, well, Texas did really good with these guys or they did really bad with these. Every single recruitment is different and every single one has a backstory. And even now with NIL and with agents and with all this other stuff that goes on, there are so many variables. Don't just look at it in a big blanket of, well, they're losing guys. No, they're winning and losing just like every other school, just like every other cycle, just like every other class. It's just every kid is different and everyone's going to have a different story in a different situation.
Get to this question from Victor Santiago. Is Atkinson announcing today? I saw everybody's talking about the Hayes Fawcett tweet, 5-star coming off the board in about 2 hours. It looks like it's going to be 5-star offensive tackle Emmanuel Iheanacho.
I like Oregon.
I think that he'll be – looks like he's announcing on ESPN.
I like Oregon, and he is beautiful.
So I don't think that Hayes is referring to Atkinson.
Tyler Atkinson is most likely won't have a decision within the next week. That thing is going to go in more, I think, mid-July. And that recruitment isn't going to be done in mid-July. That thing is going to go to the distance, to go to December. He might make a decision, but that recruitment will go way into the season. And so I don't think he's going to be in the position to make that call until maybe mid-July.
Yeah. So it looks like Emmanuel Iheanacho, again, and then people talking about some commitment video. Kosiakpala moved his to 10:30. That's when he just tweeted that out. That's when his ceremony is supposed to begin. So we'll be tracking that. Jamarian Carlton flirting with Baylor. Yeah, if you watched Recruiting Intel on Tuesday, we talked a lot about how Baylor is really putting the Central Texas pitch on for Carlton.
And they're spending money.
But Texas remains in a good spot here. Charlie Williams has been all over that one. So check inside Texas for stuff related to Carlton. Here's a good one. Let's see. What's your view of Okpala? Could be a Riley Pettijohn type. Pettijohn, I think, had better speed and athleticism. Yeah,
Pettijohn was a much better athlete.
We started the video.
Pettijohn running in the 100.
We started the video talking a lot about Okpala, and you know, because we thought he was going to be announced, have announced a decision by now. So we go over that. Ian talks about, you know, going back his ability to play linebacker and the way that, you know, Texas recruits that position. So that's at the start of the video. This one, which running back recruit is at the top of the board now, Justin?
Derek Cooper, baby. Look, Derek Cooper, don't sleep on this recruitment. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, and I'm doubling down on it. I think Texas and Cooper make a lot of sense. Let this one play out. Because Derek didn't take an OV to Texas. He had so many other schools scheduled, and his mother didn't want to decline any of those. She wanted to be a family of their word. And when they said they were going to do it, they want to do it. But there's a reason he canceled his announcement, which was going to be on July 12th. And that's because he wants to hear and see what Texas has to say. That one's going to play out into the season. But I have a sneaking suspicion Derek Cooper's going to wind up in Austin.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our other sponsor, that is Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
One more recruiting question. I'll wait for Justin to get back with it, but not to put the cart in front of the horse, but is the 27 class looking to be mostly skill position since this year is trench warfare? No. I don't think so, because there are some really highly touted offensive and defensive linemen in the 27 class in the state of Texas.
The offensive tackle haul in the state of Texas is ridiculous for 2027. And we start with Kennedy Brown. He is a must get of the must gets in the must get category. Okay. Kennedy Brown will be special. He'll walk across the stage and get a bear hug from Roger Goodell one day. Caden Scott out of San Antonio Roosevelt is another one. Big time offensive tackle on the board. Horns love him. Demarion Johnson out of Tyler Legacy is one to watch. Another big kid, nicknamed Big Juicy. Yeah, the offensive line in 2027 looks really, really solid. And so I think Texas will stay closer in state with some of those other guys, similar to how they've done this cycle.
Also, high school recruiting is that's where you get your big men. Every year in high school, recruiting should feature a bunch of big.
Yes.
You don't want
to worry about guys. Put skill guys in the portal years later.
Yes.
All right. One more. No, he's not bad for quarterback recruiting. One more thing.
Micah Rhodes. We got David Rawls asking us about a 2028 running back, Micah Rhodes.
Look, hey, if you know his name already, that means he's probably pretty good already.
Well, he's got a lot of social media hype behind him so far, and he actually looks pretty dang good at first glance. But yeah, we're talking about 2 years from now. But Chad, I'll tell you this: Texas running back coach Chad Scott knows who he is.
Hey, Hadrian, this new emperor Hadrian wouldn't be the first to try to keep Boyd's out of the picture. So,
oh man, let's go into something, Ian, that you wrote today: importance of replacing Baron Sorrell in 2025, 3-year veteran at that Jack position. And that Jack position, as you explain, is kind of the new point of attack for offenses and defenses in the current game of football.
Yeah, it's kind of the spot where you want your, where like back in the day, your Tommy Novus kind of Mike linebacker, or your, I don't know, the big 80s guys.
Britt Hager.
Well, Hager was like a little faster. But I'm thinking of like the really big dudes. They're like 6'2", 270, 260 kind of Mike linebacker. Where you want that guy nowadays is more like the Jack.
Yes.
Where he's rushing the passer some, but you're also putting this big body and this like solid athlete to the wide side of the field from a wide alignment. And you're making it to where anytime the offense wants to run the ball, and if they actually want the ball to spit out into space to the wide side, they have to go through that guy. So if he's really awesome at setting the edge, then the offense is forced to play in a box. And that's not good for offenses. That's a big win for defenses.
Do you think that Baron Sorrell was like the perfect candidate for that position over the past couple of years?
He was very good at it. I don't think he was the platonic ideal, because you can get away with playing a really big, freakish dude. Like Lance Jackson is probably like the pinnacle, from what we can tell. That'd be like the pinnacle of what you'd want at that spot, where there's like size and athleticism. But Baron Sorrell was really freaking good at it, because he was so strong and he was hard to run the ball wide of him. There's like a counter run. If you want to blow up a counter run to the field, if that F, that's like the field side edge, so the Jack for Texas, if he's blowing up that pulling guard, that play's going nowhere. Almost nothing else matters. If you blow up that first pulling guard, then the whole play gets blown up. The next example, if you scroll down, is duo or inside zone, which also tends to rely pretty heavily on the tight end Y getting a pretty decent block on the Jack. So if you have a big, powerful Jack there and he can just like blow up that tight end and drive him inside, you ruin all the angles of the play. So it's a very important position in run defense.
I hadn't thought of it as, you know, I've been trying to say things like you don't put your best athlete at middle linebacker anymore. You put him at this spot. You see that, you know, with some film you see of some recruits that we've been talking about, but you explain it, you know, the kind of the X's and O's wise, because that's, you know, if that's your best athlete, then you want him there in the middle of basically every single play.
Yeah. And I would maybe caveat, you want your best athlete at like buck or something, but maybe not your best athlete, but like your toughest, smartest, I want him involved in every big run action kind of guy, that kind of Mike linebacker.
Definitely toughest.
You're like your toughest and your like most reliable pure football player. You want that kind of guy at Jack. Like, say you don't want Simmons there, because that it's a forceful position. It's not as much about pass, you want an athlete, but it's not like you don't want your like elite guy there.
So here you have some examples of what Sorrell was able to do in the past.
This is a different dimension, which is that before you play it, So you want your Jack. The Jack is like a key run defender. You can force the offense to play in a box if he restricts the wide side of the field. He's like a decent pass rusher usually, ideally. But offenses don't really throw and ask the quarterback to hold the ball on first down in college football that often. But they do it on third down. And the advantage is that if you have a dude that's good, it's like big and strong there, you can slide him inside on third down when the other team has to pass, which is what Texas did with Sorrell and Burke last year. So they would play him at three technique and then get another faster edge outside of him and then let him go up against guards. And that was very effective.
So here's a look at that right here. And this is a third down package too. And boom, there he is getting Van Buren. Play it one more time. You'll also notice that you got Trey Moore outside of him, but you also have Colin Simmons in the – no, that's Anthony Hill. Never mind.
It's everybody.
It's everybody.
That's a group play.
Here's another one. Like
finding a three technique that can move this quickly on these stunts or just these pure rushes is really hard. If you get one, you're golden. But it's hard to find a three technique that can do that. But if you can just slide your Jack inside and do it when you actually need it on like third and eight, then you don't need the superstar three technique anymore.
Could this be not on a standard down basis, but do you think that could be Justice Terry or Lance Jackson this year?
Well, I guess Burke, maybe Vasek, maybe Umeozulu. I think those guys would probably figure in ahead, but
down the line,
potentially yes. That's what you'd be hoping for.
Down the line, Jackson and Terry are better fits here than Vasek.
I agree on Jackson.
I think Terry probably, but it's just going to be different for them.
Yeah.
So, who are the options, Ian, for replacing Sorrell in 2025?
So Ethan Burke already did. It was like a bit of a timeshare last year between Burke and Sorrell. So we already have seen Burke execute this role. He was good at it. That's easy. It probably starts. If Colton Vasek is able to get his weight back up and is healthy and awesome in the fall, I think there's a chance Vasek could actually start. We talk about this on the deep dive later today at 12 o'clock, everybody. Deep dive will release. We got five players that could be big breakouts in fall camp. One of them is Colton Vasek. So maybe Vasek could do it. I think Vasek is big and strong enough to play that role. Burke obviously has already done it. Umeozulu profiles to it. I think I haven't actually seen him play very much in college, but he's like another big, powerful dude.
This would be Zena's year to start making an impact, Ian.
Yeah.
Not be the guy, but just to begin to contribute. Because his body has finally grown into where it needed to be for him to do that. And it took a couple of years.
He could be in the two deep either if somebody gets hurt or if Vasek ends up on like the buck position or something. Burke, I guess.
And Zena's got some instincts. This is a kid that was forced to play middle linebacker his senior year in high school. I think Zena is very adaptable.
That's exactly kind of what you want to hear. And then obviously, like you said, Lance Jackson and Justice Terry could both play here. We're hoping Justice Terry can play inside eventually. Correct. Lance Jackson is going to probably stay outside his whole career, I reckon, and play this position.
It feels like with Lance Jackson, it's kind of a mirror because remember he played a lot of tight end at Pleasant Grove. That's mostly run offense, isn't it, Justin? But still, yeah. that's like a guy at that point.
It's like a wing T type style. They don't throw the ball very often,
but when they do, that same point of attack.
Yeah,
that's another good indicator. Landon Jackson played a role kind of like this for Arkansas. So his Lance Jackson's older brother. And he got
right. And Landon's the stronger of the two. Lance is the more athletic. of the
two. Landon was really good at it.
Yeah.
No, I know. Hey, he's going to do some damage up in Buffalo for the next few years. Happy for that kid.
We got to get out of here. Got some prep to do. We're tracking at 10:30 just like everybody else is. So thank y'all for watching. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Stay up to date to all breaking news. Of course, if you have not done so yet, head to Inside Texas. $1 will get you access all the way until August 30th if you have not signed up yet, all the way to Ohio State. And of course, make sure you get Paul Wadlington's Thinking Texas Football. There's a link in the description, I believe. Should be fun.
Rapid fire, rapid fire. Sugar Father dropped us a couple bucks. Rapid fire. Ian, Jack sounds like a Space Force position, is it? Go.
No, it's not. But it is a position where if you have a good player, you can kind of – it gives you a lot of advantages. Maybe helps you not have to have super studs at some other spots.
There you go.
There we go. We appreciate y'all watching. We'll see you next time on IT Live presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.